After that, my husband was killed in a plane crash on business trip. And in this, the worst time of my life, the darkest time, God sustained me by His word. I don't know if I wasn't a Christian, what happened? I wouldn't be here. And God has been encouraging me every day with the word. And He gave me John chapter 15. He said, I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. And He says, without me you can do nothing. And He also says that you didn't choose me, but I chose you. It was because of glory of God. And also he says in Isaiah, he says, you know, I will never forsake you. So, but it was very, very difficult for me to live in a foreign land, you know. I couldn't speak English very well. My husband understood everything I said, and he even said my English is very good. So I just believed it. But when he's not there, not many people understood me. And I had to, you know, have children at school and all sorts of things. I had to do it by myself. And then lots of letters, you know, small print, and I don't even understand what they're talking about, but I had to sign all sorts of things, you know, and I thought, I just don't want to go on. And I said to Jesus, you know, I don't want to go on any longer. And then he said, he spoke to me through his word, my grace is sufficient for you. And I thought, it is so real, so true. And then he said, we will work together. But I didn't know what he was talking about. In my hometown, there used to be a copper mine. And in this copper mine, there were 300 British Far East prisoners of war were working during the Second World War as a POW. And they were captured in Singapore, and they were sent to Thai Burma Railway. And after the completion of the Thai Burma Railway, they were sent to this place called Kiwacho, copper mine. Fortunately, the situation, the treatment was much better compared to the ones in Thailand. And they were given a house. They were housed and they were clothed. And they had a blanket to sleep. And food was very, very scarce for everybody because the government took all the food away from Japan. But they, you know, they were fed. And also there were 100 school children aged 13 were working with them as well, and the copper miners also. And these school children, they were taught by the teachers at school that white people are evil people. You know, they were taught very, very bad things. But they told me after, you know, when I met them, they said, you know, those POWs, they lined up and they went in the morning, they went and came back in the evening, and they had a shift work as well. But they were always gentlemanly, and they thought those British people are much more politer, looked politer, and much better than the Japanese people, Japanese soldiers. And then, because they were so young, they were full of curiosity, they went closer to them, and they became kind of friends, you know. They started to change language lessons, and they, Japanese people said that English people learned Japanese far better than the Japanese learned English. And then those POWs showed them family photos. They said, this is my wife, I was a butcher's son, you know, etc., etc. And then the local miners, they baked steamed bread, and they cut the cigarette into small pieces, and then they just shared. So they had kind of friendship going on. But unfortunately, 16 of them died by accident or by illness. And then when they died, they buried them on the mountain and just put the cross. But after the war, the mine people and then the village people, they brought those ashes into one big grave. They made a big grave, and they put, you know, in this countryside amongst mountains, they have no idea of the outside world. I had no idea when I was growing up. I never met Western people until I was 16. I only saw one American, you know, when I was 16. That was, you know, so very remote. And because of the copper mine ceased producing copper, you know, there's no job, so younger ones all gone away to find new employment. So elderly people, and as far as I know, there was no Christian in there. But because they respected these British young men who died there, they made into a Christian grave. They put a huge copper cross and roll of honor, and the explanation of why they died was on the left-hand side on the marble. And there were a fresh flower when I went to see this grave. It was beautifully, beautifully done, you know, renewed the grave. It's on the back side of the back page, I mean, back cover of this thing, that the grave is in there. And they were tending it so lovingly, caringly. And when I saw these names, God spoke to me, you know. I just felt the mothers, what mothers are, you know, feeling. And I thought, if I told the families of the people who died, and also the people who went back, that there is a grave and people are tending to this grave, I thought they would be comforted. And I thought, knowing is responsibility. So I took lots of photos and came back to England. But I just didn't know how I could find these people. I didn't even know if these people are, you know, ever alive. But because I'm a Christian, I could pray. I just prayed. God knows my heart. I just prayed that His will be done. And then after a year of prayer, miracle started to happen. And I found that there was a man called Joe Cummings who lived in Northumberland. He was a POW in this copper mine. We corresponded, and he came to visit us to Croydon. I live in Croydon. And he stayed about 5 days. And then my son and myself visited him. And he introduced me a few more POWs. At first, they seemed to, you know, they didn't want to meet any Japanese. But once we met, we just became such, you know, close. We just felt we were so much linked. And they didn't tell me any bad stories, but they tried to tell me the funny side of the, you know, life during the wartime. And they showed me copper ore and chopsticks. And the fan, which had lots of signs, and then they said their group leader, Japanese group leader, gave them everyone a fan, and everybody signed. And then there was one sign said, Richard White, and he said, wicked vicar. And I just thought, you know, in that sort of situation, he could still joke. And I said, I must meet him. And then I was told that there were a national conference of POWs in the Barbican Center. It was in 1991 in autumn. I wanted to go there, and then I rang POW Club, London Club, that I had to buy a ticket. But they were very, very angry. They were shouting at me, you know, they wouldn't sell me the ticket. And I really wanted to go there to find more POWs who worked in this copper mine. That people told me, British people told me, Japanese people should never go there. It's not meant to. And if you go, they will eat you alive. But I just prayed. And then God said, let's go. So I went with Jesus. I saw lots of elderly people, and I thought they must be the ones. And I introduced myself, and then when they realized I was Japanese, they were very, very angry. And they told me, we hate Japanese, go away, or, you know, all sorts of things they were saying. But when I saw their eyes, you know, God gave me compassion for these people. I just went closer to them, and I showed the photos, and I tried to speak, tell them about why I was there. Some people just walked away, but some people listened to me. It took a long, long time, but eventually they gave up. They thought I couldn't move, you know, couldn't get rid of me. So they sold me a ticket, and then the meeting started. They told me later on there was 1,000 people there. And when I went, it was a very heavy atmosphere. And for the first time, I just realized, you know, what we have done. You know, those people are suffering because of us. I just felt their pain and their frustration and the hatred. I could sense their hatred towards Japanese people, filling that hole. And I was praying, and then Jesus spoke to me. He said, I love them as much as I love you. I died on the cross as much as I died for you. And I knew that Jesus was urging me to tell the people how much God loved them, to show them his love. And then I remembered when my husband died, God said we will work together. It came back to me. And I understood this is what God meant, to work with him to help people to be healed with this anger and the feeling of the scar of the war. And also I was thinking of the Japanese soldiers who were so evil. I thought if only they knew that God loved them so much that he sent Jesus on the cross to set them free, they couldn't have done things like that. So I thought I must tell the Japanese people how much God loved Japanese. I said to God, I said I'm sorry about Japanese soldiers. And then God assured me that he loved the Japanese people just as much. It took long time to convince the British POWs to write about their story. I asked them if they could write so that I could translate it and show it to the Japanese people. At first, some people didn't like the idea, but some people agreed. And then also I asked them if they would come to Japan with me to have a memorial service in this memorial garden of the POWs. It was very hard for them to, say yes, because they hated Japanese. They were still war against Japan, and they saw the Japanese people are fighting against them as well. And they said, you are the first one after the war we meet, the Japanese, first Japanese we meet, and never. You were the last one as well. But deep inside, I thought God will take about five people to Japan. And I started to fundraise. I was knocking at Japanese companies. I thought they would be so happy. I said, here is money. Take them and take them to Japan. But that the reality was so different. Most of the Japanese companies, they didn't want to touch the subject. They were very afraid of this subject. And some people thought it was an unnecessary thing, and I was doing silly thing because digging up, the things which nearly 50 years ago. But some companies were very helpful. And then I thought in 1992, in the springtime, I started to fundraising, and it was very hard. And then God has found these school children at wartime. They were in their 60s. I knew that God showed me that they were there, and one of them were head of the post office in the countryside, and I never met them, but I knew the name and where he worked. So I sent him a letter and then a booklet, which is the POW stories in English and in Japanese. And Japanese people who were looking after the grave, they also wrote. And some guards wrote their stories. So I put them, combined them together and sent them, sent the booklet to the people. And they decided they will support me. And they also wanted to see these POWs. They said they just had a memorial service for them, and we were started to fundraise in two countries, but it was very, very hard. And then in July, we decided to take the POWs to Japan in October, which that's the best season in Japan. And in July, there wasn't much money yet. And then those Japanese former students, they were very, very worried. They wanted to see them so much, and they were ringing me, "What's happening? Have you got enough money?" And by this time, many POWs decided to go to Japan because they thought if they went to Japan, they may end their war. And they didn't want to take this hatred to their grave. And if Keiko's story is really true, that there is a grave and people are looking after the grave, then we must say thank you. So they decided to go, but other POWs said, don't dare do this. Keiko is not a Christian. She's just pretending to be a Christian, but she is a spy from the Japanese government, and you'll be a traitor if you went. This kind of threatening is happening. And then these Japanese former students are thinking, what's happening? The money? Then I said to them, I am sorry, we haven't got much yet, but we are praying and believing that God will do it. And they said, God? Believing? Praying? What is that all about? We only believe what we see. We need money, not prayer. And they were, because they are so eager to have them, and they, even though they knew I was a Christian, they thought I went too far. When we were praying, I was working for a Japanese company at that time. So every Friday lunchtime in the city, some Christians gathered and prayed, and they all prayed about my project. And one businessman said, Keiko, I don't think it is God's will that you went to the Japanese companies only, because this is every Japanese have to know this. It's important that Japanese people knew the past and what you are doing. So I wanted to do it very quietly, but because of the difficulty, I took the matter to the newspaper company all the Japanese major newspaper companies, and then they all took it up. And in September, the money just flooded in to these former students, the organization, with beautiful, beautiful letters, you know, from the pensioners to the school students. And then the companies, some companies gave, and many, many post offices did as well. In the end, 26 POWs, including two wives, and my friend and myself, went to Japan. And even on the airplane, those POWs were just wondering, you know, if they are doing the right thing, because the people are calling them traitors, and they were not sure if the Japanese people would treat them well, or if they can behave well, all sorts of things. But when we arrived at the local train station, the whole town was waiting for them, waving Union Jack, and little girl was wearing a kimono, and flowers, bouquets of flowers, and these two parties just melted into their arms, just like their, you know, family reunion. It was 47 years after the war, and people are crying, and all the media, television, radio, magazine, newspaper, you know, so many, you know, flashlights, and the Japanese people are so happy. And I told the Japanese people beforehand, these people will not use chopsticks, they would not eat raw fish, and they don't eat Japanese food. But every day they had reception after reception, and they have a lot of Japanese food, you know, amongst the westernized food. And they're saying, just try, just one mouthful, you know. and you know, they couldn't understand the languages, but still, you know, heart could communicate. And they were gesturing and singing songs they used to sing, when they were POWs. Japanese people remember some. And then some POWs learned Japanese song. And just, you know, amazing way they were just talking to each other, eye to eye. And we had a wonderful memorial service. There were many, many people. Lots of dignitaries came all over the place. And there was two bishops from Church of England, and one Catholic priest, and one local priest, and then Richard White, I met him. He was with us. So five priests were doing this service. And the day before this service, it was just rain, cats and dogs. And then the service, the day was beautiful autumn day, blue sky, and all the ground was dried. And after this service, some POWs came to me and said, Keiko, yesterday's rain, that was our tears. With these tears, our bitterness, our anger, everything was washed away. and we are feeling love towards Japanese people. And then Japanese people thought, oh, we must show them Kyoto. And they arranged us to go to Kyoto. And wherever we went, because every day there was news, television, newspaper, you know, everybody was thinking about this. And because this village was called Iruka, I just didn't want to call them POWs. In Japanese, not nice. So I called them Iruka boys. And they loved it. And then, you know, wherever we went, people just came, oh, Iruka boys, Iruka boys. You know, they were shaking hands. Oh, I'm sorry, sorry. You know, they were apologizing. And even on the train, people came and apologized. And Japanese soldiers, ex-soldiers, came to apologize. And also, we were invited to the British Embassy for lunch. At first, when we asked the British Embassy, the military attaché said, oh, we don't have room big enough. You know, they didn't want to have us. But you know, the Bible says persistent. So we just asked until they said yes, you know, many, many times. We rang them, and POWs are very, very happy because they also have thing against British government, you know, because they were badly treated after they came back. So they were very happy that the Japanese government did something for them. And when we came back to England, they wrote to me or telephoned me. They said, no more nightmares. And their wives said, my husband has so changed. It's become so easier to live with. Please continue this work. So it's a hard, hard work to get this money together, and also taking them. I never thought of anything. I just wanted to take them to have a memorial service and meet the Japanese people. But wherever we went, speech, please give a speech. And, you know, I had to make speeches, and then these POWs had to make speeches. They are very happy to do this. But somebody had to translate it, and there were some volunteer translators, but when they started to speak, you know, they are from Newcastle and Northumberland, and I said, oh, no, no, you do it. So I had to translate. It was so hard. But, you know, when you see these people changed, it's so wonderful. And then I started fundraising again, and then we, you know, now POWs, some new POWs, they wanted to go to Japan, and some who'd been there, they also came to, there was a Japanese festival each summer in Batashi Park, and there are maybe sometimes 10,000 people gather there. So we went there to fundraise. We got a little table. We had this booklet called Little Britain. Tried to sell this. And also lots of newspaper cuttings we are giving, you know, in the field that was helping. And then there was Japanese officials. Ambassador was there to open this ceremony, and lots of Japanese company bosses. And I was introduced to this Japanese ambassador. And then he called me to the embassy a few weeks later. And I was invited to his room. there were about five men sitting there, and then ambassador said, how can we help you? What can we do to support your work? I sit here in this room like this without knowing any POWs, but you know them. Please tell us, what can we do for you? And then I said, it's the best thing for to heal these wounds is to take them to Japan and meet the Japanese people, and the Japanese people also can learn firsthand about our past, and they just become very, very good friends. But it is so hard to fundraise. And then he said, I cannot promise you that the Japanese government will help you, but I personally will do what I can do to help you. And several weeks later, I received a huge envelope from the Japanese embassy. There were so many checks, you know, £100, £50, £100, so many. So the ambassador must have asked every Japanese people who worked in the embassy. And it was so, you know, moving, because it was such a hard time. And also my Japanese company I was working, the boss was very, very helpful. He often came to my desk and he just knocked my desk and said, are you all right? Is the money you have got enough? Can they go to Japan? And then he said, why don't you visit so-and-so? He gives me names. You know, if you go from the bottom, you can get nowhere. But if you know the top people, things start moving, you know. So, and then he gave me this All Nippon Airways company, one of the top men. And I went to see him, and he said, as long as you do this, we want to support you. And then the first time we went, because the money didn't come until very end, we had to book hotels and things in Tokyo. We had a terrible, terrible hotel, business hotel in, you know, not very nice area. So I was so disappointed. The POW said, oh, this is fine, this is good. But I complained to my Father in heaven. You say that I am your daughter and you have got the whole world in your hand. It's so easy for you to move money from left to right, you know, it just... You are so wealthy, and why is your daughter? Why does your daughter have to stay in such a terrible, terrible hotel with such important guests with me? I said, I want the best. I want the best for the people who experienced the worst. So this airline company, I said, you have a hotel in Tokyo. May we stay there? And he said, of course you may. So they made it so cheap so that we may be able to pay, you know. And it was just a luxury. And POW was so happy. And they met so many people who apologized them, and so many places, schools, we visited the schools and they talked about their experiences, and then the school, high school we went, and then the high school students, they cooked, you know, the lunch, and it was very nice. And then since then we've been, you know, about since 1992, every year, we're going often, twice, So maybe nearly 400 people went, POWs and their families. And many, many POWs now, because they are over 80, so lots of them go on wheelchairs. But because they meet so many good people, they're looked after very well, they stay in Japanese homes as well. And then, you know, the war criminals come and they apologize to them. They start singing, you know, It's a Long Way to Tipperary and this songs and Amapola and all sorts of things. So, and the POWs sing together with them. And the POWs say that when they forgive the Japanese people, especially the former soldiers, it's the best thing happened to them. When they forgive them, just their burden lifted up, and they become happier people. And then the people, their neighbors were saying, "You are looking younger these days. What's the secret?" And their, you know, family are also becoming happier because these POWs are becoming happier. And also these young, you know, sons and daughters of POWs whose father never came back, they also go to Japan, and they can talk. And you know, it is not easy to talk for some POWs, you know. But once they do it, they say it's a catharsis, just cleanses, and they feel light and happy. And two POWs came out of a wheelchair because they're completely healed inside, and their physical body was healed. And many, many people, they start putting their luggage into the wheelchair and they start pushing. And it's just amazing what God is doing. And I thought that because Japanese people cause their pain and suffering, I thought God wants to use Japanese people to heal these people. And God is just doing that. And there are ladies, so-called comfort women. We took one lady who was in Indonesia when she was in her 20s, and she had such horrible experiences. But when she came to Japan, and just people apologized, men, women, old, young, and you know, healing started to happen. And she met a Japanese ex-soldier who confessed that he went to this kind of place, and he never thought anything of it, and he apologized to her, and you know, on behalf of the Japanese soldiers, and they reconciled. And also, in a reception in Tokyo, there was the commandant of the internee camp. He also apologized to her, and so many people came to apologize, and she could forgive. And then her face just became so different. And God is doing such, you know, work in our hearts. And Japanese people are also getting healed. These Japanese soldiers, lots of them were told not to say sorry. If you say sorry, you are, you know, we won't do anything, you know, you are not our friends anymore, kind of thing, you know. But they gradually they change their minds and they tell me that we want to tell you everything, can't keep this to the grave. And they start confessing and, you know, openly and apologizing to the POWs. So God has been teaching us that it is so important to repent and ask for forgiveness. And when you forgive the people, both sides get healed and God blesses us so much. Thank you very much.
Okay, so maybe if people have personal, if any questions that maybe Keiko can answer aside from you.